Upgrade your learning experience during Dell Technologies Back to School event with AI PCs like the Dell 14 Plus featuring an Intel Core Ultra processor starting at $749.99. Supercharge your studies with features like real-time notes transcription, AI-accelerated hardware to run multiple apps without slowing down, extended battery life, and more. That's the power of new AI PCs with Intel Inside. Discover a smarter way to learn at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
You guys are going to go back in time.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Remember when Tyreek Hill, after the Miami Dolphins, didn't make the playoffs last year?
I'm out, bro. It was great.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
When you say something like that, you don't just come back from that with, hey, my bad.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Look at Tua being honest about that.
It's a leader right there.
Yes.
Earlier on the show, Super Bowl champion Tyrann Mathieu. Coming up, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Former NFL executive Joe Banner. And now... it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Tom Pelissero is going to join us in 20 minutes to confirm what I think we have already confirmed, that the Jets are the only team in the NFL talking about is their 26-year-old quarterback is going to be ready for the season because somebody stepped on his toe in the second practice of training camp, correct?
Correct,
Can you confirm that for us?
I think so.
And I mentioned in hour number, I think it's we can confirm it. Forget, just throw out the age. Anybody else wondering if their quarterback is going to be ready for week one of the season, and how severe is an injury going to be because somebody stepped on his toe in the second training camp practice, right? Do me a favor, try and confirm that before. I don't want to waste much time with Tom. I want
we haven't seen that, and
again, I said it in hour one. When Tom joins us, I want podiatry and information.
I texted him that.
And what did he say?
And he ha-ha'd it.
Ha-ha. Oh, so he emojied or whatever the hell that is. What do we call those things on your...
I don't know. It's just like kind of a simple, quick reaction, I guess.
We need a better system on the iPhone for
ha-ha.
That.
You don't like those?
What's better than that? It's quick. It's easy.
No, because the thumbs up, to me, is like the solid, the verbal. It doesn't fit.
You're taking tone from an emoji.
Yes, I am.
That's a YP.
That's a YP. Excuse Rich, that's me. A
it's
you
a
problem.
21st century thing to do.
It's a YP. Yeah.
So then you be the person who types out your full feelings, and we'll just
or just do the voice. Like you hit the little microphone.
Yeah,
and you can
do that. Like what up, though?
Yeah.
By the way, Susie just—that's all she does is talk to text.
Yeah. It's very good.
An army without leaders is like a foot without a big toe.
Look at you. Did you get that stripe already?
He didn't come up with that.
Sergeant Hulka. Sergeant Hulka is our big toe.
I'm not playing. I can't. I got to be careful because I don't know what's...
No, I know. Be careful.
There's some profanity in there. Yeah.
I mean, it's only a 50-year-old movie almost. By the way, can you believe that?
No.
When we grew up, 50-year-old movies were like, you know, Gone with the Wind.
Uh-huh.
All right. I'm aging myself here.
I'm sorry, Rich.
We didn't talk about this, guys. But the Women's Sports Now crew did. And it's time for us to talk about it. The WNBA All-Star Weekend. And what it revealed about the future conversations between the WNBA management and the WNBA Players Association and players. That's definitely something that we learned from the weekend. We also learned the way the media reacts to things. Certainly when Caitlin Clark's involved. A lot of us lose our minds and heads. And the WNBA weekend for the All-Star game in Indiana did not feature Caitlin Clark on the court, but did feature her name as one of the teams on the court. It's just like the NBA, they have They allowed two players to choose their teams. It was Team Collier versus Team Clark. Nafisa Collier choosing one team and Caitlin Clark choosing another. And on Collier's team was one of her teammates from the Minnesota Lynx, Courtney Williams. I believe Asia Wilson was on that team. Kelsey Plum was on that team. Sabrina Ionescu was on Team Clark. At any rate, the All-Star Weekend, really, the stars of the All-Star Weekend really weren't the All-Stars, but the Stud Buds. There they are on the screen, Courtney Williams.
Court.
And Natisha Heidemann.
T. Court and T.
They are teammates on the Minnesota Lynx. Courtney Williams was on Team Collier, so Nafisa Collier chose her teammate to be on Team Collier. But anyway, the Stud Buds were all stars of Twitch. Now, I'm not on Twitch a lot. And by a lot, I mean ever.
Yeah, hardly ever.
Okay, because that's for, I know I'm going to really age myself here. Are you on Twitch?
I am not.
Okay.
I've DJed on Twitch.
You have?
He has, yeah.
Okay.
So I have a Twitch account to watch him, actually.
So you're the most, Twitch-verse?
Nah, it's a lot of gaming on Twitch.
Yeah, a lot of
it's a lot of gaming.
A lot of gaming. Yeah, that's why I'm, you know.
Exactly. A lot of gaming on Twitch.
And I don't have my own gaming chair.
Maybe they're comfortable, Rich.
Let's get into
we
it.
We did look into Twitch as a spot for the Rich Eisen show to line up at years and years and years ago.
I actually thought we were going to Twitch. Yeah.
We were very twitchy.
Yeah.
But it never happened.
Didn't happen.
But
we had bigger plans.
How many hours in a row did they was it like 72 hours?
Like 72
days in a row? It was a party.
It was a party.
And everyone's stopping by. I guess Portnoy's coming on the pro.
Everybody was there.
72 hours in a row. Everyone was there. But that's what was going on.
They turned it out.
They're one of the all-stars of the All-Star Weekend. And another star, I guess, is whoever made up the Pay Us What You Owe Us t-shirts, apparently, last minute. I don't know, because
seems like it.
It was something everyone's talking about. Pay Us What You Owe Us. Everybody was warming up for the All-Star game, including, I guess, Coach Clark. Wearing Pay Us What You Owe Us. The Players Association and the WNBA had a meeting together. A lot of the players showed up. It didn't work out great. Certainly, if the response is, let's wear t-shirts when all the cameras are on us at the biggest event we've got mid-season and wear the Pay Us What You Owe Us. We had Christine Brennan on yesterday's program. She appeared on last week's Women's Sports Now to talk about what's going down here and the equitable pay. Forget about men versus women, just what the WNBA appears to be reaping in with future television contracts and how much these new franchises are going for and how much is trickling down to the, you know, players and all-stars. Mm. So after the All-Star game, Kelsey Plum of Team Collier, sitting next to Sabrina Ionescu of Team Clark, was asked in the press conference, where did the t-shirts come from? What's the genesis, the origin of the t-shirts? And here was her response.
The t-shirt, just United Front, was determined this morning that we had a meeting for. And, you know, not to tattletale, but zero members of Team Clark were very present for that. But no, we were just, we had a very...
that really needed to be mentioned.
I'm trying to make a situation light, okay?
So the way this was taken is that one of the big time stars of the WNBA is calling out Caitlin Clark for having nothing to do with this or whatever. But people were like, what a... Plum's taking shots at Caitlin Clark. And Sabrina Ionescu's response was, you know, I don't think we really need to be throwing Caitlin Clark under the bus here. But apparently, Ramona Shelburne, one of the many to report this as well, the reason why Team Clark wasn't there and what she's referencing is that it was an early morning meeting. And most of Team Clark, if not all, that was not there, including New York Liberty's finest sitting to her right, not being there, is because they were apparently partied out from the Stud Buds. if not, you know, you want to just yada, 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 maybe a little bit too hungover to be there.
I saw some Henny flowing.
Which is why UNESCO is basically saying, I don't think you need to share that. You don't need to call out in an inside joke that apparently didn't land. But it's so telling that everyone is like, oh, here's another moment where Caitlin Clark is disliked.
But
no. As opposed to basically like saying, hey,
we was getting it in
with the Starbucks.
We was getting it in
like the rest of America sitting at home twitching. Unlike we weren't twitching. At any rate,
Rich, there was a moment which I you probably didn't see this. I, like I said, I watched way too much of this. There was one moment where Caitlin was in a Luca situation. Mm-hmm. Remember when Michael Finley came up, took the beer away from Luca?
Yes.
There was one moment the stud buzz, I think Courtney was pulling Caitlin into the camera, the phone, and she Caitlin had some type of drink, and you see Aaliyah Boston just come over and snatch the drink.
That's
and like
the Caitlin's Michael holding
it, and Aaliyah's like, nope, give it here. And then Caitlin comes over. Into
It's good teammates. It's good teammate work. Good fever work. So instead of the fever, apparently their heads were pounding over something else. But anyway, so the reaction just being so crazy from so many people. Just do yourselves a favor and Google Kelsey Plum and Caitlin Clark and whatever. And you'll see it's all like Plum crushing Caitlin Clark and Clark firing back on an Instagram post and all of this stuff. And apparently none of it is the case.
People like to jump to conclusions.
Many of our members of the media went all in on it. So I guess the reaction to the reaction is what Women's Sports Now is providing.
Okay.
Available on the latest edition of Women's Sports Now on Roku. This is what they had to say.
Now, the reason why we wanted to bring this up, and I think it's really important, guys, is how things can get misconstrued, how misinformation can be sent across. And a lot of people in the mainstream media made it sound as though she was taking a shot at Caitlin Clark, and she wasn't. In fact, she was just talking about the fact that they'd all been out drinking all night, and this meeting was at 8:30 in the morning.
Yes.
And some of the women did not show up. There were myriad people who mentioned this, but one of them really bothered me, and it was Colin Coward on his show by saying the following quote, "You went to a Motel 6 in a sketchy part of town. You went from that to a Four Seasons in the shopping district. Stop talking." And then later in the clip, he went on to say, "It's time to grow up, girls. Like fast."
Oh, no.
Now, can you imagine if I were sitting here or sitting on the Rich Eisen show set over there and I referred to the NBA players as boys?
Yeah.
I think that's what really hit me hard.
Yeah.
I just found it demeaning.
Insulting.
Insulting. Mm-hmm. Derogatory.
Colin Coward insulting?
What?
No, come on. What?
Yeah, I mean, don't let the clips fool you. When they say it's a sisterhood, it really is. Like, I feel like there were a ton of times where on the court, yeah, we would go at it. I mean, you might think Diana Taurasi would hate me, like the way that we played against each other, but these are homies off the court. And I think that's kind of what social media now, podcasting, and even live streaming is doing. Like, you get to actually see people's real interactions and not the interactions that were manipulated for the internet.
I think we all know that if you say someone attacked Caitlin Clark, it gets clicks. Mm-hmm. So that's exactly what people are out there doing. But I mean, I'm a comedian and I was like, that was a joke. It just didn't work.
Everything isn't drama. Everything isn't that serious. I saw AT and Angel Reese reenacting the headlock. I saw them reenacting that at the game. I remember on the internet, that was a big deal when it happened on the internet. And then you got them at All-Star Game, you know, doing their WWE impressions with each other. It's really never that serious.
No.
It's never that serious.
It's a very lighthearted moment, clearly. And it's just like, oh, another opportunity to pit women against other women. It's
women
like,
and women violence. Not cool.
We've seen it before. And we'll see it again, probably, unfortunately.
Latest episode of Women's Sports Now. Renee Montgomery, Sarah Tiana, Colleen Wolf, Suze. Available right here on Roku. The Roku original series, Women's Sports Now, every single Thursday. So, there's that. And nobody's still, you know, unfortunately, the T-shirts and the actual conversation, the one that's going to linger, the one that's actually going to resonate, the one that's actually going to roost, gets consumed by Kelsey Plum just gave a shot to Caitlin Clark. Pay us what you owe us. You guys don't have that T-shirts, right? You're not going to show up to work in that.
No.
Thank not you. Yet.
No, but of course not.
Thank you.
Maybe in September, you know, we might.
Oh. What would we need that t-shirt for?
Why would you?
I don't know.
I mean, O'Shea Jackson Jr. is the only one who considers this a hostile work environment, right?
Yeah, he was. By the way, he's going to have some stuff to say on Monday about the lack of our birthday celebration. I'm just going to warn you.
Does he want to call in later to this show?
I don't know. You know, he don't return text messages.
You guys didn't do anything yesterday?
I don't even know how to reach him.
smoke
got the signal, right?
Did I miss something?
Smoke signals.
Put the signal up. All right.
844-204-RICH,
number 2. Great stuff by Women's Sports Now. And
shout out to the Stud Buds, man.
And shout out to the Stud Buds. I know. You want in on that, I bet.
They were fun, man. Look, Rich, they were walking down the street. Kathy Engelbert, the WNBA commissioner, was driving by them randomly and yelled at them to make sure they behave. And they didn't. They didn't behave at all.
Well, again, this is the sort of thing that you want to have that cuts through and reaches the demographic where they are.
Yeah, right. Given all this everybody, exclusive. Like,
don't you think Major League Baseball would love to have a Stud Buds?
They need.
You know
it.
What I mean? Like, exactly.
Well, look, we had 45-year-old Rich Hill zooming in instead of like a 22-year-old young star.
And the WNBA has it.
Yep.
And that's the sort of stuff you need to have. Yep. You've got to get going. They got it. So, who would be the Stud Buds of the Rich Eisen Show?
Me and Felly?
Probably me and Jason.
Yeah, oh, we did go live from the tattoo parlor in Phoenix.
I don't mean it.
When Felly was getting the L.
Excuse me, you're in the Hall of Fame of Ustream. I mean, come on now.
I am.
You used to have your Friday night music show where you were just getting hammered, and playing music.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
Which is, by
and
the
cursing.
Way.
He get to the point sometimes. I knew when Mike got a little too in.
I know.
He'd start. I'd have to text him like, Mike, chill.
Tone down.
I saw that in Nashville live in front.
It got so bad, I started driving through the marina looking for him to say, hey.
Chill.
Hey.
Hey, hey, you better behave, Mike.
But he wasn't there. He was either on Ustream or hand-feeding rodents.
Wow.
By the way, great album, Hand-Feeding Rodents. What was that?
Was that Toto?
Was that Toto? Okay. All right, let's take a break. I don't want to be late for Tom. I need to know about Justin Fields' toe.
Will Tom wear a hat today? That's the question.
He better not. Not with that flow. It's football season.
So you know we love talking movies around here. You know we love talking comedy around here. We also love talking about classics around here. So you know what I'm all about. That said, all of that said, you know how I must have felt when I was sitting in the movie theater like I was the other day watching the previews, and up came a preview for The Naked Gun with Liam Neeson as Frank Drebin Jr. That preview had me at hello. I loved Police Squad back in the day. I loved The Naked Gun back in the day. And here comes The Naked Gun once again with, yes, Liam Neeson as Frank Drebin Jr. Come on now. Son of the celebrated Police Squad Lieutenant Frank Drebin from the original movie. Paul Walter Hauser's in this movie also. Pamela Anderson. Guess who also makes an appearance? WWE superstar Cody Rhodes, and the producer of the movie is Seth MacFarlane, the creator of The Family Guy. Come on now. This is going to be so much fun. I'm excited to see The Naked Gun in theaters on August 1st. So, what do you do on August 1st? Of course, you're going to a theater near you, and you're seeing The Naked Gun. I might even be there. Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions, so it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal, check for traffic, and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available blind spot view monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians.
These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
All right, radio audience is going to rejoin in 2 minutes, but let's bring Tommy P on. He's not wearing a hat, I don't believe. Okay, not at all. Good to see you, Tom. Hello, Tom.
Good to see you, Rich. What's up to my boys in
Something going on with the lid here, Tom? Yeah. I mean, are you growing? Are those burns? We got sideburns going on here? What do we got here? What's happening? You know, we're fixated. So, as bald brotherhood individuals are fixated. What do you have here? What's going on? What do we have?
Your attention to detail is appreciated, Rich. Always impressive. I have my first haircut since before the NFL draft, right after this show.
Oh, wow. So
this is the final documentation of this version of the Bro Flow. Cannot necessarily say exactly what the outcome is going to be. Still in negotiations with my stylist on what we're going to do this afternoon.
Stylist.
On the other side, I'll be a little more kempt.
Pardon me.
Tom, I know about that. Okay. I got a stylist.
I need to see the
stylist. I know about that.
I need to see the part in the back.
You don't go to the barber. You don't go to the barber.
I'm with you, Tom.
No, hold on a minute. I get it. What's the party in the back looking like? Give me the profile. Turn your head.
I mean, you can see the full.
Whoa, Elvis.
He's got like.
It's in the building.
Thank you very much.
We got a lot going on, yeah.
A lot up top,
a lot on the side. Just everywhere, Rich.
Don't rub it in. So you have not cut your hair since Green Bay, since prior to the draft at all?
Correct. I got a haircut sometime, probably right before I headed for the week in Green Bay. I thought, I'm on like a once every 10 years switch up the haircut at this point, Rich, and I figured this was a logical summer.
Okay.
Just to grow it out, see what options we have. Yep. You know, I may not be right back where I started come week one. We will start to get answers later today.
Well, to paraphrase a quote this time of year, I'm only talking about the hair that's here.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Not the hair that might come.
My hair's in its 15th year of a holdout, right?
Don't cut it. Slick it back like Wall Street.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, put the plus in NFL Plus.
Slick it back.
Tom Pelissero, everybody here on the Rich Eisen Show, has just joined us. The Pelissero Bro Flow might be a great fantasy team name.
Not bad.
Okay.
Not bad.
All right,
I knew this morning when after my Good Morning Football hit, I started getting both texts from people in the NFL and various posts on social media asking me about the hair. Mm. It's time. So later today, we'll be taking care of what's going on.
And for the radio audience just rejoined us, Tom is has not cut his hair since the draft and is seeing a stylist today. A stylist.
Ahoy, boy.
What the heck is going on here? All right, Tom. Tell me about Justin Fields. What happened? How hurt is he? What's the expectation that we know right now, Tom?
Well, first off, Rich, I would say whenever people see the phrase carted off, they have the idea that it's what you see on Sundays and somebody, you know, crying into a towel and has to be taken off the field. For a lot of these teams, they cart a guy, meaning use a cart to get him into the locker room because the practice field is far enough away that you don't have to fireman carry the guy a couple of hundred yards. I mean, it sounds like Justin Fields rode shotgun into the facility here. I talked to people who were there. He got stepped on. I mean, that's exactly what happened. It is a toe injury. My understanding is they examined him, x-rays. There's no fracture. Ian Rapoport had reported to dislocation is the initial diagnosis. He's still undergoing an MRI and further tests here, but certainly relative to what the initial reaction was this morning, Rich, and the questions that it raised, this seems like, again, pending further tests, seems like very good news in a bad situation, or could have been a bad situation for Justin Fields and the Jets.
Well, obviously, there is some sort of, for the lack of a better analogy, PTSD when it comes to Jets quarterbacks and hopes that are put into their baskets and pages that are turned because they've arrived. And the same old Jets situation is going to finally be overcome. And so you could understand the level of concern that can be had from it. So there's nobody can tell you. Nobody's been able to tell you ballpark weeks, 4 to 6, 6 to 8, 2 to 4.
Well, that's precisely why they're doing the additional tests and the MRI, because once you rule out, you know, a broken toe, which would be a longer type of a recovery here, now you're into that sort of gray area of, is it days? Is it weeks? It does not sound like it's going to be months. Again, pending the further tests here, it would seem, Rich, like this is something that Justin Fields is going to be back from pretty quickly here. Doesn't sound like, again, initially, the week one is in any doubt as he goes up against the guy who tore his Achilles on the fourth snap a couple of years ago for the Jets here. So we'll see exactly how it plays out. You would expect them to proceed cautiously. But again, there's not a fracture. It's not some type of major injury. This wasn't an Achilles or anything like that. This is a toe injury, a dislocation, and they'll see you know, exactly how long it's going to take him to get back. But it's not something, it's going to be a great deal of time.
So as of right now, I guess to weave everything together, no hair on fire to the people that you've spoken to in Florham Park, New Jersey, right now. And nobody's hair is appearing to be on fire over this.
This we're just going to keep doing this, huh?
Yes, we are. Notice I said weave as well. I did say weave. Did you notice that, Chris? I mentioned the word weave. But nobody seems to be overly freaked out about this.
No, nobody wants to see it. I mean, you've got coaches, a lot of whom, you know, just got there from different staffs around the league. They've all seen those bad situations on the first day of training camp. For the people who are still around that building from the opener a couple of years ago, absolutely. Everybody's got that initial shock factor. And one of the, you know, frankly, one of the things about the way that the NFL is covered now and on social media, and this is in no way, you know, a critique of the reporters on hand. All you can report is what you saw, which is Justin Fields, the quarterback, just limped off and was taken on a cart into the locker room here until people actually get off the field and the doctors get to examine him. You're operating in a vacuum of information. So in that hour and a half, they were trading for Kirk Cousins, trading for Kenny Pickett. Right. Starting Tyrod Taylor, now we're back to, in all likelihood, barring something major being revealed in terms of the additional tests and the MRI, Justin Fields still being their starter come week one.
Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, training camp injuries always take precedence over training camp holdouts. But now that we've handled the injury portion of it, let's talk about the hold-in in Dallas. What is your reporting on the Joneses and the Parsonses, and whether they've reached out to the agents, as Parsons, according to our friend Clarence Hill, asked the Joneses to do, and they still haven't really personally reached out to Micah's agent. How serious is this situation, Tom?
Well, the Cowboys are in a unique setup because normally you wouldn't want the owner to be calling the agent to get a deal done, but Jerry's also the GM. And so it's the logical person. If you're going to finalize a deal, you'd like him to call a very, you know, high profile agent whose name Jerry claimed not to know several months ago. It just sounds like, since they had that initial, what both sides have described as a handshake type of deal directly between Jerry and Micah several months ago, there just has not been a ton of progress. You know, why Jerry decides to go to the podium a few days ago and say, hey, you know, he could get hit by a car. I honestly don't know. Every year there's about 10 to 12 bites from that press conference, whether he's talking about mosquitoes or using different analogies, whatever, that you walk away going, well, that was a strange thing to say in that moment, but that's part of the Cowboys experience. It's part of the Jerry experience. I would say this, Rich. We know exactly where these numbers should come in based upon Myles Garrett's at 40, TJ Watt's at 41. Mike has always been more likely to be above both of those, you know, somewhere in that probably $43 to $45 million per year range. Now it's a matter of what does the structure look like on that deal. Cowboys historically have done strong upfront cash flow types of deals, but they also like longer deals where they buy up years on the back end. Whenever they get to talking, and I'm sure there are other members of the organization, the people actually handle the nitty-gritty of negotiations, have talked to David Mulugeta by this point, you know, that's going to be one of the sticking points it has, which is, you know, do you want to have a superstar player sign a 5 or 6 year deal and essentially sign away his prime? From the agent, the player's perspective, you'd rather do a shorter term deal, let's say 4 years, where you're getting another bite at the apple before you hit age 30. This should not be in terms of just the raw numbers and what the deal should look like. It shouldn't be a tough deal to get done. We know, even though it took forever on Dak, it took a long time on CD. ultimately you got to the logical things, which were large portions guaranteed. They were shorter term deals. And that's because the players ultimately had the leverage. For Micah, you know, the leverage for the team, if there is any, is, hey, you know, ultimately you're gonna have to choose. You're gonna play out this year's deal. Then we can franchise tag you next year. We can go franchise tag you again. We can go 3 years out in this thing if we really want to, just like we did with Dak. The problem with that logic is, just like in all these other deals, by waiting, the Cowboys historically have ended up paying more. And while, again, I would maintain that the Micah number really hasn't changed because of recent events, including the TJ Watt deal, it's still a substantial amount. The cap's going to continue to grow, and the number's just going to go up.
And then we're always assuming, Tom, that whoever is holding out or in wants to reset the market. And that's potentially the reason why that player is not in camp right now. Is what's your knowledge about what Terry McLaurin and Trey Hendrickson are asking for? Are they trying to reset the market for those
positions?
Neither
one are trying to reset the market. They're both trying to get paid fairly relative to their production. And listen, both guys are right around age 30, which for a long time has been a scary number within the NFL. If you go back historically and you actually analyze the data, there are some positions where players can perform really well into their early or even mid-30s. There's other positions where you have kind of a precipitous drop-off. In both cases, you know, it's kind of similar. For Terry McLaurin, he turns 30 years old in September, but he's coming off of five straight 1,000-yard seasons. If you look at his numbers are almost identical the past 5 years, other than last year, he caught a whole boatload of touchdowns. And oh, by the way, this will be the first time, I believe, in his career that he's had the same week one starting quarterback 2 years in a row because of the constant turn in Washington. Before Jaden Daniels got there, I believe the quarterback who had started the most with Terry McLaurin was Taylor Heineke. So for McLaurin, you're watching all these other players get these big time types of contracts. DK Metcalf, as part of a trade with the Steelers, ending up getting a monster type of deal. Obviously, Jamar Chase reset the top of the market. Terry McLaurin's not trying to get $35, $38, $40 million per year. However, he's due a little under $20 million this year. And the reality is, if he signed that deal several years ago, the $20 million a year player, even 3 years ago at the receiver position, is now a $30 million a year player. And for Terry McLaurin, look at these other deals, you're thinking I should be somewhere in the 30s just to bring it up to snuff. We know that he's in the Virginia area in part because he was snapped in a photo outside a yoga class.
That's right.
So obviously he thinks there's a possibility that, hey, something can get done that would get him into the building. But my understanding has been all options are on the table at this point. He could ultimately end up requesting a trade. He could end up with the team working out a deal. He could even just show up and say, I'm going to play out the last year of my contract, or, you know, tack on some incentives. We've seen that at other times in recent years, and I'll just come in without a new long-term deal. There's a lot of different buttons that Terry McLaurin and his agent Buddy Baker could push. They've not yet pushed them. So while they're talking, as of this morning, Rich, it did not sound like there was any progress in terms of a long-term deal. So we'll continue to wait and see how that goes. With Trey Hendrickson, same thing. He's 30 years old. He has been the most productive pass rusher in terms of sacks over the last couple of years. He led the league in 2024. May not have the physical traits of some other guys, but you can't argue with the production. The issue in Cincinnati is not that he's trying to reset the market. He's not trying to get over $40 million per year or 41 to beat TJ Watt, even though TJ Watt's basically the same age. He's just trying to get paid in that same range where you look at what Max Crosby got, which was upwards of 35. Danielle Hunter was in that same range earlier in the offseason. Obviously, Miles is at 40. It's going to be somewhere in that bandwidth. My understanding is, when you had Bengals officials on Monday speaking very optimistically, Mike Brown, Duke Tobin, among others, talking about, we think we're going to get this done, there was real talk that potentially they could get something done. Because in terms of the raw numbers, again, Rich, we know where this is going to land, right? The APY is what always gets the headlines, and it's the highest paid or whatever, but it's also about structure. The Bengals are one of only really two teams in the league at this point, along with Green Bay, that don't do future guarantees. They do the signing bonuses guaranteed and nothing else. Well, whether there was miscommunication or whatever, when ultimately Trey Hendrickson got another offer, it only once again had the first year guaranteed, not 2026, not 2027, only this year. Trey Hendrickson, from the time he showed up to a practice in May in a polo and khakis and said, I'm not playing on this year's deal, has made clear, what do you want? I want a multi-year commitment here. I want, you know, to be able to be committed to this team for the next couple of years here. The team has not been willing to do that. So Trey Hendrickson flew back to Florida on Monday night. We'll see when or if he ends up returning to Cincinnati. But it's a long-winded way of saying, Rich, no, neither of these guys is trying to reset the market. But anytime that you've got players who are as productive as Terry McLaurin and Trey Hendrickson have been, regardless of age, you're going to want to be in that top five, top 10 type of category. Neither player is. Both players are trying to get there. Structure is an issue in the case of Trey Hendrickson. We'll see how long these go on. But I would say, Rich, sometimes as we get closer to the padded practices, that's when a year ago, a couple of the quarterback contracts got done. Sometimes you get closer to those padded practices that can't begin until this weekend. That's where maybe the sense of urgency starts to set in a little bit more for everybody involved.
Yeah, you're right. Like, we always are trying to glean something from a social media post. And obviously, Trey Hendrickson showing off what looked like a Florida sunrise or a sunset is way to glean that. And maybe, Tom, maybe this is next level chess. Terry McLaurin being spotted coming out of a yoga class might be a way for him to communicate that he's flexible. What do you think, Tom?
Yep. I like it.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, thank you.
It's hot yoga.
Go ahead, use that with your stylist later on. So what happened with Will Levis? Like, he gets hurt in September, you know, and now and he goes through OTAs, splitting reps, and then all of a sudden on the eve of training camp, he goes and gets shoulder surgery. Like, did he hurt himself in a spot that we didn't know? Like, what's your reporting on what happened with Will Levis in Tennessee?
We know Will Levis has had that issue with his throwing shoulder since back when he stretched and tried to get the first down. And then he tried to play through it, if you remember, the following week, and he really struggled. And then they finally decided, you know, that they were going to have to give him a break. Think about this from Will Levis's perspective. And I don't know 100% of the ins and outs, but if you're Will Levis, you know, regardless of what the coaching staff or anyone else is saying, Cam Ward is starting week one. There is virtually no scenario in which the number one overall pick is not the starter. So Will Levis, at best, is competing to be the number two in Tennessee. You've had, let's call it, bumpy tape through the young course of his career. There have been a lot of decision-making issues and turnovers. Now let's say you feel like you are 90% or 80% of what you can normally be. That's what then you're putting on tape. That's what's being reported on if you're making mistakes. That's what ends up being on tape in the preseason. And teams that are looking at this for potentially trading for Will Levis during this training camp before the regular season, potentially looking at him beyond 2025, that's going to be what sticks in your head. Knowing all that, if Will Levis didn't believe that he could be 100%, it makes sense. Take care of your throwing shoulder above all else. Get 100% healthy and then give this another go in 2026. It's hard to imagine that that would be in Tennessee. I know that the Titans brass has said repeatedly that, you know, they were planning to keep Will Levis on the roster and they wanted to have an opportunity to compete. But again, there are certain things that I think have to be said at times. If you're Will Levis and you know that the deck is stacked against you here and you're not yourself, just go ahead. Take care of what you have to take care of here. It'll be interesting to see because Will Levis, I mean, he is a talented guy. He did have production in college at Kentucky. He's got a big arm. He's got the physical traits. The decision-making's just been all over the place, and that's been the biggest issue. Maybe a fresh start someplace else, wherever that ends up coming next season with a fully healthy shoulder. You know, he could be that next guy, as we've seen a number of other reclamation projects in recent years, who could revive himself and get back on the field somewhere starting next year.
Lastly, Tom, soundbite that we're going to play later on in hour number three after we chat with Joe Banner about a lot of what we've just chopped up, is Kevin Stefanski saying his quarterback plan or his quarterback naming plan or the way to figure out how to map out naming a quarterback is written currently in pencil. What is in pencil, to the best of your knowledge there, Tom?
My understanding going into the summer, right after they had seen through OTAs and minicamp, they had gotten a taste of all four quarterbacks. They were divvying up the reps. My understanding was there was truly no decisions made, and they wanted to do their best to make it a fair opportunity for everybody to show what they can do through the course of training camp here. You've got four players who could not possibly be at more disparate points in their career. You've got 41-year-old Joe Flacco, who won a Super Bowl like 13 years ago and is, you know, was on the couch until the Browns brought him back and ended up going to the playoffs with him in 2023. You got Kenny Pickett, who had a lot of injuries. He had concussions, but you can also fairly say that maybe he didn't get, you know, the best opportunity to show what he could do in Pittsburgh. And then you got two guys who walked in the door a couple of months ago for the first time in the NFL and have so much to learn. I think that when people think that this is either Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett, that's a pretty good bet, in large part because the hardest thing that the Browns could do here would be roll one of these guys out, the rookies, as a starting quarterback. Dylan Gabriel, you know, yeah, maybe he's, you know, pint-sized Bo Nix from a year ago coming out of the same offense, and you can get him up to speed. He's not going to do as much with his legs as Bo Nix did, but maybe he can show you something, but he's still got a growth process. Shedeur Sanders has a ton to learn, all the things you saw in college in terms of the decision-making and holding on to the football and taking sacks. That takes a while, and he's in an NFL offense for the first time. The logical way to approach this, Rich, I would just think, and I'm not speaking for anybody else here, the logical way to approach this would be you give Joe Flacco a start, you give Kenny Pickett a start, you give the two rookies a lot of playing time through those first two preseason games, and then, as Stefanski said yesterday, you make a decision as soon as possible. Now, having said that, we've all seen it, Rich. We've all seen when you get into the preseason and somebody, it's usually a first-round quarterback, but sometimes a rookie quarterback or a young guy will jump off to such a great degree that the coaches involved just have to go, we've got to at least give this guy a shot. Otherwise, you were the Browns a number of years ago when you had Baker Mayfield pretty plainly being ready to roll. And instead, he was informed that, hey, you won the number two job and ended up being on the bench at the start of the season behind Tyrod Taylor. You got to play the best guy. The people in the locker room always know you can't fool the other players. And if Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders is the best option, they'll be out there. But it is the hardest outcome for the Browns to reach for a variety of different reasons here. I do believe we will get through those first, at least one, probably two preseason games before we have a decision in Cleveland.
Tom Pelissero, dispensing information, and still some blanks to fill in with the top story that we hit at the very beginning of our conversation, getting set to cut his hair for the first time since the NFL draft. And, look at that. Oh, now he looks like a beetle. That is unbelievable. Look at this.
Emo Tom.
Or for you Get Smart fans, the Groovy Guru. Those who know.
Yeah, you lost the
same. At any rate, I know I did. With this information that you haven't cut your hair since the draft, Mike Hoskins and the rest of the group, look at that right there on the left. That's the draft, Tom Pelissero.
Oh.
Now look at the current Tom Pelissero. You know, very carrot toppy right there, man. The guy on the left, I know that guy. The guy on the right, I don't know who you are anymore, man.
I'll send you a photo. You're on for a little while longer here. Yeah. I'll try to get you a photo, or at minimum for tomorrow's show.
Do it tomorrow, Tom. I don't want to rush the process, and I don't want your stylist focused on anything but the actual quaffing. Okay. This may be the greatest lump of clay your stylist has ever had. Okay. So I want to see something like out of, you know, what would you say? Out of Ghost. You know what I mean? Like something like that. Okay, Tom? Take care of yourself. We can't wait to see the after picture.
2-week training camp tour coming. I gotta get something manageable. Right?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
This episode is brought to you by eBay. We all have that piece. The one that's so you've basically become known for it. And if you don't yet, fashionistas, you'll find it on eBay. That Miu Miu red leather bomber, the Cousteau Barcelona cowboy top, or that Patagonia fleece in the 2017 colorway. All these finds are all on eBay, along with millions of more main character pieces backed by authenticity guarantee. eBay is the place for pre-loved and vintage fashion. eBay, things people love.
The McDonald's snack wrap is back. You brought it back. Ranch snack wrap. Spicy snack wrap. You broke the internet. For a snack. Snack wrap is back. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
The following is a paid advertisement from the International Brotherhood of Bald People.
Do you believe that you're missing out on the finer things in life because of your lack of hair? Are confidence, vitality, and love only for the Fabios of this world? Are you sad because you have more hair growing out of your ears and nose than you do on the top of your head? Does hair truly equal happiness?
No, it doesn't. Hi, I'm Rich Eisen, and I'm here to say that it's time for the Follically Challenged to draw a line in the sand and redefine what manhood truly is. Chemical applications, medical procedures, you've tried them all in the desperate hopes of regrowing your hair. The results? An empty wallet and you looking like a chia pet. However, now there is another option, the Bald Brotherhood. Our motto, no hair, don't care.
That's right, Rich. We're flipping the script because bald is beautiful. And if you're on the fence about shaving your head or removing that lame toupee, our beautiful crisis hotline is standing by to help you take the plunge. These certified, handsome operators will give you free, confidential support anytime, 24/7. They feel your pain. They were once living in the shadows just like you. Bad comb-overs, ridiculous wigs, part of their daily lives. But thanks to the Brotherhood, they're now living their best lives. And you can too.
How many championships did Jordan win with hair? Zero. How many did he win when he was bald? Six. These are stats, baby. Stats and facts. Come on home. It's the Chrome Dome, baby. Shine with me.
We got LeBron.
Oh, keep him on. Right. Just keep him on.
Hello? 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 LeBron? We lost him.
3-5 in the finals, whatever.
Hey, I've got Tiger.
Thank you, Bald Brotherhood. Balder is better.
I couldn't have done it without you, Bald Brotherhood. Thank you.
Less is more. Thank you, Bald Brotherhood. Now I'm fresh and clean.
Well, I guess I won't be needing this anymore. Thanks, Bald Brotherhood.
What can I say? My life has changed.
And don't forget, I'm not only the founder of the Bald Brotherhood, I'm also a member. Join the movement now.
Ken Tulo on the right, produced and written.
So good.
That goes in the annals of our show history. Whew. Up there with the Price is Right segment of my initial reaction being, I don't want to do it.
You did not
and then
do that,
being convinced of doing it and it turning out,
amazing.
All time great.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, listen, best idea wins, right? Sometimes I need to be convinced of it.
That's right.
But I don't reject it. Just that I want to do it. Initially, the thought was like, really? I don't.
You thought we weren't going to pay attention. You were like, don't put it on the television.
I don't know what that means. What are you talking about?
The Price is Right.
Oh, the Price is Right. No, I just thought like we're talking about something that nobody can see on the radio and nobody can see on television. What are we doing?
True.
Brockman's like, you've got to do it. We have to do it.
It's going
to
be fun.
It's going to be funny.
Yep.
And it turned out to be great.
I was shocked that you like even questioned. I'm like, we've been hyping this up for a month now.
No, I know that. But to stop the program in the middle to talk about something that and people can't see if you're watching or listening, that's kind of very difficult.
I had faith
on its face.
I had faith in your skills to describe what was going on. And look what happened.
It was perfect.
Okay.
We put it on our demo room. Our Emmy room.
And you spent every time we show it back, you're recording us on your phone. Have you ever watched that video back?
Oh, yeah. That was a live stream. So I was live streaming on Instagram when that was going on.
Got it. Okay.
I priced it's probably still on my phone, to be honest.
TJ, you got ripped off. I am still with this motor.
Who's the one that confirmed it?
Oh,
recently?
The Godfather, WWE Hall of Famer, who's a
very
Harley guy.
Confirmed. I love it. Boy, there's 5 win-loss games on the horn right here. Let's go to Jeff in Pasadena, California, right here in Southern California. What's up, Jeffrey?
Hey, Richard. How's it going, brother?
What do you want to do, sir?
We're going to win-loss my Rams here because last season I got jobbed because Susie was in the chair, and I was excited. And you know how she has to get to every caller, and we had like 10 seconds.
Oh.
It was brutal.
Sorry about that, Jeff.
You're going to blame Susie for that, Jeff?
I mean, exactly. But let's give Jeff in Pasadena what he's looking for right here.
Give him some time.
What happens at New England to start the season? Oh, pardon me. I got the wrong list in front of me. What happens against the Houston Texans at home? What happened? What happens?
We lose because we always lose the first few weeks or so because we're never ready because we don't do the preseason.
Okay. That seems like an agenda that was just got off the chest there. What happens at the Tennessee Titans next week?
No, I like how Sean gets the team ready. Tennessee is a W, and I'm going to be in there that weekend, but I'm tied up with family.
So. Okay. At Philadelphia, what happens?
That's a loss. They're for real.
1-2 home for the Colts.
W.
2-2, home for the Niners to kick off a Week 5 Amazon Prime Video Thursday night.
Excited about that one. That's a W.
3-2 at the Ravens.
That's a scary game. We lose.
Set 3-3 in London at Wembley against Jacksonville.
Excited. I did the first 14 games at Wembley. I love these games, and Jacksonville's for real there, but we got them.
4-3 off the bye, home for the Saints.
All right. That we get that with the rest.
Okay. 5-3 at the 49ers.
We always lose to those clowns.
5-4 home for the Seahawks. Cooper Kupp's return game.
That's going to be fun. A lot of love there. W.
6-4 home for the Bucks on a Sunday night. Yeah.
Sunday night football.
7-4 at the Panthers.
That's a W.
8-4 at the Cardinals.
W.
9-4 home for the Lions.
This is where it gets rough. That's a loss.
Hmm. You got 1, 2, 3, 9-5 at the Seahawks on a Thursday night.
That's a lot.
9-6 at the Falcons on a Monday night.
Got them.
10-6, home for the Cardinals.
Got them.
11-6, Jeff in Pasadena.
Thank you for giving me the full time.
Oh,
you're welcome, Jeff.
We don't want you jobbed by the entire family. Thank you so much, Jeff. In Pasadena, 11-6.
Ooh.
That
would obviously be a playoff record.
Yeah, that's not.
I don't know about losing to the Lions at home, folks. Every time Stafford's played the Lions, it's there.
Yeah,
I kind of feel like he's going to be. Stafford's healthy. He's in a friggin' zone. In a zone.
I wonder what type of crowd will be at that game.
Well, Del Tufo will, hold on a minute, he will not be at that game because he'll be at Fox, guys.
I gave those tickets away.
You already gave them away.
I did.
To a Detroit fan.
That works at Fox.
Oh,
a friend.
Great.
What are you doing?
He bought them from me. I got to pay them off.
You're the problem. Oh. Once again,
I work on Sundays.
You.
He doesn't.
Are the problem.
He's a kid, though. That's the difference.
You are the problem.
No, I'm not.
You are.
I would go when Stafford is going silent snap
count.
Working.
When Stafford is going silent snap count, it's because people like you who get the season tickets give it to the other team.
When I retire, Brockman says never.
You choose to work on Sunday.
I work on Sunday.
You choose to work on Sunday. They feel the need to ask everyone every 2 seconds whose house it is.
It'd be Mike's house in a few years. I don't know when, but eventually.
You're lying.
He's never going to give up. Never going to give you up. You're like the Rick Astley with the Fox.
Rick Astley of audio. Never going to give
you up. You're Del Tufo rolling Fox.
No, it's like.
Mikey rolling. Okay. Listen, you're a good guy.
Oh, man, what's coming next?
You are. No, it is.
I just got solid.
Joe Bader's coming next.
That's like building him up to just knock him down.
No, I'm not. I'm
sorry. That's right. I'm in music.
He's hitting music.
You got me riled up.
I got him all zhuzhed.
I was waiting for you're solid, Del Tufo. I was all ready. I was like,
no. Do we want to talk about the elephant in the room with Tom's hair?
Was that Dan Patrick uses the phrase a fresh coat of paint?
Yeah, I'm thinking he did.
For somebody who does something.
What color was that?
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe it's the. I don't know.
I know.
I don't know because it's been a long time. Does your hair get darker the longer it gets?
Mine used to when I had black hair.
I don't know. TJ?
No, it's gray.
My hair and your hair is not the same, but maybe it's something he puts in it.
One of these is not like the other.
The gel does make it darker. Mm. Having gelled the hair professionally.
That did not look like the same color when we did the split screen of the Green Bay shot.
Yeah. It could be the camera.
Could be. Yeah. He was wearing an orange, hoodie. Maybe the reflection.
Is it the
up a little bit?
So you think that Tommy P is putting a fresh coat of paint in his
hair? I think that looked a little enhanced.
Hmm. Do you think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We shall see.
Curious if we get the the new stylist approved photo.
Stylist, by the way.
In a couple hours.
I'm a stylist.
You're a stylist. You're a sound stylist.
I'm Patty styles my
what
hair.
What am I? Am I a word stylist?
Yeah, for sure.
What are you?
I don't know. Positivity stylist.
Definitely not. I missed that. I'm so mad. I missed that.
We gave him a business yesterday.
Someone, in honor of the day of your birth.
Someone in the comments was like, I didn't realize halfway through this was just going to be a roast.
Did they tear you apart? Oh.
No, they're trying to trigger me, Mike.
See, that's not right. That's what you do that to me all that, but you guys do that to me every
day. Thank you.
No. It's exactly what should be done.
No, that was great.
It all started because Rich had to send a text. And in that moment, it just popped into my head.
Yeah, 2 days ago, you're like, I want you to be positive for an hour.
And I was like, all right.
And then he's like, I want you to do the Dallas Cowboys win-loss game. And
TJ, that was a good job, I heard.
Because TJ basically decides the Cowboys are going to go 11-6 every year. And that broken clock's going to be right at some point.
We got it signed and notarized.
I did 13 wins one year.
You have it signed and notarized?
I did the WLs on here, so, and I had him sign
Jay
it.
And Jay Felly notarized it.
He notarized it, yeah.
But he's not a notary. Only in Mike's mind is he a notary.
Which for our purposes,
he is. Susie once upon a time brought documents in here thinking he's going to notarize. And Jay's like, I'm not a notary. Mike just thinks I am. We're like, damn it.
That's fantastic.
That actually happened.
I love my brother Felly.
Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home, plus fast and free shipping site-wide. Shop now through July 28th at wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.